In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. A favorite game of preachers and a useful way to read the Bible for all of us is to place ourselves in a particular Bible story. You've heard sermons like this before. When we do so, and we do it well, we get a greater sense of what God is doing in that moment, and more to the point, we may have a greater sense of what God is trying to teach us by recording that particular story in His Scriptures. The question for us this morning is, where are we in this gospel story? More than a few options. Let's take the easiest one first, the least awkward option. Many of us will take a look at our choices, one of which includes a homeless, naked man possessed by demons who lives amongst the dead, and think we would like to closely relate to Jesus. We think that we are here to help those who need it most. We're here for the crazy, for the homeless, and for the hungry. We're here to do good. And certainly, if you've ever been with us on one of our trips to East Chicago, we're going next Sunday afternoon. Yes, that's a shameless plug. If you've been there, then you've had a similar experience to Jesus this morning. There, our parish comes along some of those who are most needy, those who need someone to talk to, those who need a warm place in the winter or a cool place in the summer to have a meal. Those who are disabled mentally or physically, preventing them from having a financially productive job, and those who are not well, and in some cases have not been well for a very long time. And this story is one of those times. It is one of those times where we absolutely ought to follow in the footsteps of Jesus as best we are able. We ought to work to come alongside those in need. We ought to work to drive out demons in people's lives. Christians ought to be good doers. Sometimes that means a supernatural battle like the one Jesus takes on this morning. But more often than not, our battle against the demons looks just a little bit different. I remember once being at the reopening of a Salvation Army center, and strangely to me always, the Salvation Army has Pentecostal roots. And there, the pastor of the local congregation, he got up, and he was introducing people, and then he said, and there's one more person who's here today, but he isn't happy. And he got in his kind of full fervor and said, the devil is here today. And he's not happy, because tonight we tell him a liar. Because tonight we feed the hungry yet again. We show that the devil and the demons lies, that there isn't enough food in the world, simply isn't true. There are certainly demons and forces of the evil one moving around in our world. St. Peter writes, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Sometimes, with the help of our community, we do what Jesus did this morning, confront those demons head on. But more often than not, we simply illuminate the lies they tell by showing the sacrificial love Jesus has for the world. So we could be Jesus in this story, coming alongside and helping those in need. There are more uncomfortable places for us to hang our hat, because we're also the man. I'm sure most of us don't live among dead bodies in the tombs. Most of us have a routine place to lay our heads at night. Most of us here are gathered of sound mind. So how can we be this man? But for many of us, I would dare say even most of us, or if I wanted to tell the truth this morning, every single last one of us, there are parts of our lives, struggles with particular sins that keep us under guard and bound with chains and shackles. There are habits and patterns in our lives that we know are not good for us. And yet when they get a hold of us, we are like the man. And we break our bonds and are driven into the wild. That may sound extreme, but think about the habits you haven't been able to break. Think about the things you've done to try and rectify your soul. or think about the habits you've tried to develop. If you're one of those people that doesn't have bad habits, think about the habits you've tried to develop. Prayer, for example. Whether or not that's been able to take root in your life. We are more like this man than we might want to wish. And don't be fooled, we're also like this man in the way we relate to Jesus. Have you ever been living your life, and then whether through a friend or a scripture lesson or something, maybe even occasionally, wouldn't happen here, but a sermon, become aware that God is doing something challenging or new for you to learn? Giving up the demons in our lives, these things are never easy. When confronted by Jesus, we sometimes aren't up to the challenge. In that moment, we join our voice with that of the man. What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In other words, Jesus, why did you just make my life a little more complicated? I was happy, living my life, doing good, earning my keep, before I became aware of how I could live a holier life. I beg you, don't torment me like this any longer. So we could be Jesus. We could be the man. But there's one more place we need to look at this morning. One more place. Going back to our story, when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it to the city and in the country. And then the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus. And they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. What makes this town kick out Jesus? What makes this town throw him out just for healing a man? And why would we do the same? All three of these possibilities, they tie together because this story is ultimately a warning about how dangerous the kingdom of God will seem to those who are surprised by it. For those who are attached to the status quo, who find the way things are comforting, and who are opposed to the change Jesus brings, his appearance will be threatening to them. What happened with Pilate and the Jews, after all. We shouldn't be too quick to condemn the Gerasenes. After all, they are just doing what needed to be done. They were simply out herding their pigs. They were just trying to make a living. And they helped out the poor, crazy man from time to time when they could. The scriptures seem to suggest they all knew this guy. He was the town crazy guy. And then this guy, Jesus, he just shows up and he messes everything up. What are they supposed to do with this healed man now? He doesn't even know how to herd pigs. And by the way, speaking of herding pigs, if every time we're going to heal someone, it's going to cost someone else their entire livelihood, remember those pigs belong to somebody, then, well, Jesus, we're going to have to talk about this before you start doing it too often. These three possibilities, our identification with Jesus as the one who helps those in trouble, or our identification as the one of those who need help, or our identification with those who don't want Jesus to help for fear of what it might cost us. These three possibilities, they go together. They go together because we are always living one of these three. Always is a terrible word for preachers. You should never use it because there is always an exception. But I don't think so in this case. We either recognize we are the ones who need help. We are the madman who cannot fix ourselves without Jesus, or we have to be one of the other two. And sure, we can play Jesus for a while, and we ought. Many of us here are better off than most. And we'd better come alongside those who need help. But we cannot be the people we ought to be. We cannot be the people we need to be without Jesus coming alongside us. We either realize that, we either realize that we cannot be who we are supposed to be without Jesus, or we go and join the townspeople, run Jesus out of town, and go back to our pigs. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.